for. These are Jesus' first words in John's gospel, directed towards two of the disciples of John the Baptist. What are you searching for? That same question could be asked of us this morning, we who continue to follow after Jesus. I don't know what it was like in your neck of the woods, but when I woke up this morning, it was 14 degrees outside. And it was awful tempting to just pull those covers back over my head, roll over, and keep snoozing. So what are we doing here this morning? What gets us out of bed? Throwing off those covers and out into the cold. What are we searching for? If you're not certain what you're searching for, you may have realized that the world is happy to give you different things to chase after. Things that it assures you that once you have them in your grasp, you will really become the person that you want to be. You know, and those different tantalizing things to chase after may look different for each of us. You know, whether that's that new car, or that sweet new iPhone, maybe it's trying to lose some weight or to gain some weight. Maybe it has to do with the life that we choose to live, or the people that we choose to associate with or manage to hobnob and rub elbows with. The world assures us that these are the keys to becoming that person you want to be. If you're like me, you may have found at different points in your life that you've kind of fallen for that, and you've said, yeah, I would like that new iPhone. I would like to be a little bit beefier, or, you know, to be hanging with that particular crowd. But perhaps your experience was similar to mine, and you found that at the day's end, those things just don't really fill you up, that you still find yourself lacking. This morning in the reading, the Bible tells us what those two disciples of John were looking for. You know, they try to play it cool when they come up to Jesus and he says, what are you searching for? And they say, oh, Rabbi, where are you staying? But we get a little bit more insight a couple verses on when Andrew goes to his brother and says, we found the Messiah! This is a big deal! They try and keep it all cool, like, oh, teacher. But in Andrew's words, we hear that hope, that promise of who they think they've found. The one that God promised to send to save God's people. The Messiah, the Anointed. That's what gets me out of bed, to come here when it's 14 degrees out in the morning. Gets me to throw off those covers. Because something that I've found in my years of chasing, in my years of searching, in my years of experience, is that no matter how good I'm doing, that even on my best of days, that it's really only a matter of time before I stumble, before I drop the ball, before I hurt someone that I love or disregard someone that I don't even know, before I'm banging my fists against the wall in frustration and just finding myself really not wanting to get out of bed in the morning and just pull those covers back over. That, as the adage goes, that I find that with each passing year, it is still true that I do the things that I don't want to do, and I just can't seem to always do those things I feel I should. So that's why I'm here this morning. That's why I am seeking to follow after this Jesus guy, because John tells us in the gospel that this is the Lamb of God, the one that God sent to save, the Messiah, that this is the one who takes away the sin of the world. And in the midst of all those things the world offers up for me to become the person that I want to be, the thing that I know that I need, more than all else, is a Savior. And so that's what draws me to church. And you may be thinking to yourself, now Joe, aren't you just about to like hand off the world's to-do list for a religious to-do list? You know, instead of chasing after the cars or the iPhones or, you know, the workouts, that now you're working out at trying to be a better person. You're trying to give more generously. You're trying to love your neighbor that much better every day. Isn't this just yet another to-do list of you trying to make yourself the person that you want to be. And let me stop you, before you go down that road too far. Because the good news that we hear in John's gospel is that Jesus did not come into this world because of anything that we had accomplished, because of anything that we had already made ourselves out to be. But Jesus came because of who God made us to be. That we, as we are, in spite of our accomplishments or failures, that we are God's wonderful creations. That Jesus came out of love. God's love for us, each of us. Wherever we're at, whatever our life has looked like up to this point, whatever our life looks like going forward. That steadfast and abiding love of God brought Jesus into this world to take away the sins of the world, to restore us into right relationship with our heavenly parent, with God. But that can be like tricky language, that Jesus takes away the sin of the world. What does that really mean? I have a friend who said, you don't really understand something until you can depict it visually. So I offer to you this humble metaphor this morning that was shared with me by a friend that I think maybe grabs at that a little bit. So if you think about God as an artist, you know, whatever, you can pick your particular brand of art, sculpting, painting, what have you. But God is this artist who has made all of creation, us wonderful creations, the creation that we live and dwell in, and that God's master stroke was accomplished through Jesus. And then we all come along, God's children, seeking to imitate our heavenly parent, and we start getting it into our heads to like, this is how I'm going to kind of get and play. And in those weak moments, in our brokenness, we make those decisions that this person isn't particularly worthy of love, or that I'm not quite that wonderful creation, that I'm not really any good stuff. You know, we spend our time focusing on other things or perpetuating systems that bring other people down. You know, it doesn't take long to look at the news or in a newspaper and see things that make you go, hey, if God accomplished it with Jesus, what gives? What's the deal? There's certainly a lot of brokenness still going on in this world. And that is where I would say that the love that God has for us is love that is intended to be overflowing. That God is loose in us, again, here in this place, in our families, in our communities, that we are invited to let that love flow through us, that we may be a part of the ongoing restorative and redeeming work of God in this world. That we, at our best days, because of the Holy Spirit we allow to flow through us, get to play at being Christ by multiplying macaroni and cheese, by breaking bread with those who society has said is just not worth it, by weeping with those who mourn, by comforting the afflicted, by flipping a few tables for justice. That in these ways that we get to imitate our heavenly parent, that we get to reveal to our own communities the Lamb of God who came into this world out of love. Something I heard about when I came to Christ our Savior was this Gimme Five model. I don't know if you've heard about this yet. If you haven't, I think it's pretty cool. So I'm going to tell you about it right now. So part of the stewardship is this model of kind of talking about tithing, and you know, there's a biblical model of 10%. But Christ our Savior says, let's push for Gimme Five. And so 5% of income and 5 hours a week. And I think that is fantastic. Because I know for myself that it's really easy for me, really convenient for me, to just kind of crunch the numbers, do the books, and then set up a direct deposit that allows me to be like, there, taking care of my religious, like, stuff for the week, and that'll just happen. I don't have to think about it. But I kind of think that's not really God's intention. And that's where those 5 hours a week really become awesome. When we give of ourselves, of our time, to reveal God's love through our words and through our actions. Because something I've come to find out, and maybe this is similar in your own experience, but those relationships that are most important to us, those skills that we most value, that those become enriched through the time we put into them. The time that we invest in those relationships with our loved ones. Those times spent practicing those skills. And I think the true can be said for our faith and our relationship with God. That when we invest time in striving to love others, to love the people around us, that's when we grow. And so I have this question for you this chilly Sunday morning. Okay, wonderful creations, what do you reveal in your lives? What will your lives look like as you continue to invest more in your walk with the one who came to take away all sin? The one who reminds us of the love of our heavenly parent, the love of God that is steadfast and abiding.